All right, amen. Well, I'm delighted to introduce to you Brother Rudy Shepherd. He's been a good friend of mine for many years in Wilmington, North Carolina. I preached for him, I don't know how many times through the years, for over 20 years for sure, and at least every other year. But Brother Shepherd is one of the best kept secrets in fundamentalism. He has done a tremendous job there. He's 73 years old. Been in full-time work for 54 years, yeah. Preaching for 54 years. And the church that he pastors now got a beautiful building, just building another building, but not another auditorium for the English. But is that for Spanish, Korean, or Korean? Build the building for them, beautiful building. I was just there earlier this year. He pastors Peace Baptist Church that he started, and he's been there for 44 years. Yeah. And has also got a great radio ministry and is on, I think, daily, but I know he's on quite a bit. And so that's great work there. And Brother Shepherd, before these guys sing, I want you to step up here, if you would, please. Come on up here. Every year, some of the older men that have been faithful to the cause, we present with a trophy, the Perpetual Fire Award, those in their 70s and 80s that are still plowing, yes, still holding the line, still faithful. Brother Shepherd, I wanted to give you this trophy award. We wanted to make sure we gave you some honor where honor is due. Amen. And the Perpetual Fire Award to Dr. Rudy Shepherd. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire, and thank God for you, my friends. Love you.
Could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the sky above. If you could know everything there was to know about life's gain, you'd still know nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until that God is really real, then you know nothing until you've known the love of God.
Now if in your lifetime you could meet everybody and you could know every name from here to yon, but if you have not come face to face with Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known no one until you've known God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you know just how it feels until you've known the love of God.
Thank you. Well, you have a Revival Fires paper right there on your pew, and I strongly recommend this paper. I recommend it to you for several reasons, but right across the top, notice that the purpose of this paper is for fundamentalism's positive voice for soul winning, revival, Bible separation, King James local church, and Baptist distinctions. This is a Baptist paper. And I'm very thankful. Brother Coral has, as he said, been coming to our church for a long time. I don't know how many years, but a long time. We kept bringing him in and bringing him in because our folks needed it and I needed it. I needed to stay on the mark. I didn't need to get off track because I've seen far too many fellows. They just go in the wrong direction. And they do so because, you know, they think they're doing right. But then they get so far out that you can't even talk to them anymore. I mean, you lose fellowship with them. And next thing you know, they've changed their music. They've changed their Bible. They've changed everything that you once stood for. And that kind of stuff just really troubles me in this day and age. And it's, are these your students here or are these yours? Oh, praise the Lord. You've got a big school. Yeah, that is great. And this is like your place, Brother Fugit. I thought only in the Bible Belt did we have fellows shouting like this. And you boys are doing great. We may have to bring you south. Our fellows are kind of getting dry down there. I don't know what's going on, but... this has been wonderful, and I love to go over to Brother Fugit's at Commonwealth, and those fellows, they'll preach you to death over there, and it's just an exciting time to be around fellows that you've loved, you've admired, and you've watched. When you come to Wilmington, you come to Wilmington. You don't pass through Wilmington. It's the end of the world. And the next thing is the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, the next thing is you just drop right off the ocean. And we're 50 miles up from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, if that tells you anything. And people, you know, when they get to Wilmington, you know, they wonder, you know, well, you know, how did you find this place? But it's a beautiful city. And the Lord sent us there in 1975. And we started in a hotel, rented a ballroom, and we would meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then meet at my house on Wednesday night. I still believe you ought to have church three times a week. Now, you know, a lot of these young fellows, they're saying, you know, well, you know, the new thing is just Sunday morning, and then you have house churches on. That's going to bust your church up. You'll never keep that crowd together like that. One of them's going to decide he wants to preach, and he's going to take his group and go on his way. I've seen it too many times. And you're not going to reinvent the wheel. The way to do it is the way it's been done in the past. And you just look at these fellows and see what they've done, and you just keep following them, and you'll be all right. But don't think you've got a better way. There is no better way. It's hard work to pastor a church. It's hard work to start a church. It's hard work to reach souls. It's hard to work to stay right with God. Hey, it's nothing easy. If you want something easy, yeah, you just need to go on and, you know, get you a job doing something else. Because the ministry is hard. And, you know, we started off in that hotel. And we'd have to go in on Sunday mornings. First thing we'd have to do is clean up. Because they had a party last night. We'd have to get all the roaches out. And pick up the beer cans and get it set up for church. And we had, at that time, Brother Fugit, we were busing in 100 kids in a hotel. And people would come to us and say, are those kids on the roof yours? And we had to figure out a way, because they loved elevators. And they would get in the elevator and they'd be gone before we knew what was going on. And boy, it was something. But I look back on those. It was great days. Great days. And it was exciting days. And then finally, at last, we were able to buy a piece of land out on military cutoff. My dad said, at that time, we were 7 miles outside the city limits. And my dad said, why did you buy a piece of land out here in the swamps? Because it really was kind of a swampy area. Today, all around us is nothing but great big shopping centers. Across the street are houses that cost $8 million, $10 million. I mean, it's unbelievable what they've gone in the swamps and built. And right in the middle of that, God let us have a little piece of land that we could build a church on. And the city comes by all the time and says, you shouldn't be here. And I said, why? And they said, you should be on the 4th Street or the 5th Street back. You know, churches shouldn't be out here in a piece of property that's worth this much money. But you know, God gave it to us. And that was a blessing to just see how the Lord has worked through the years and what He's done. And I have learned that I may not know what I'm doing, but He knows what He's doing. And, you know, I can't tell you today how to build a church. I can't tell you today how to do anything. I can just tell you the Lord knows how to do it. And if you'll ask Him, He'll show you. And it may take a while for Him to show you. I mean, He may have to knock some rough edges off. And I had a bunch of them. Oh, my. Our brother said that he was in church and he doubted his salvation because he wasn't saved. Hey, I was saved and doubted my salvation because I was mistaught. You see, the first 25 years of my life, I was Free Will Baptist. And I was taught you could lose your salvation. So I've been saved 200 times. Now, not really. You know, you only get saved one time, and that's what I have to keep telling those fellows. You can only get saved one time. But, you know, every time that I would do something wrong, I think I had to get saved again. But you know, I've never seen one of those fellows that got baptized again. That's what I couldn't figure out. If the Bible teaches believers baptism and you suddenly become a believer, you ought to be baptized. And the only person that I knew that used to do that was Brother Hiles. They said he used to baptize the same people every week. And hey, I'm all for that. You know, that's good. Yeah. Keep the baptistry running. You know, keep it hot. But nevertheless, you know, I look back upon that period of time, and I was driving down the street going to Myrtle Beach. I was working, and I was listening to a preacher on the radio, and he said that once you got saved, you could never be lost. And that was new to me. And so I parked my car. Now, I know you've heard stories like this. I was at First Baptist over in Hammond. What was the preacher's name? The soul winner? Who? No, the wild fella. Carl Hatch, yeah. I was there when Carl Hatch got his doctor's degree from Brother Hiles. And he told the same story that a friend of mine tells about how he got saved. I said, one of those fellows listened to the other. Because he talked about walking down the street with a big Bible under his arm and all of that. And my friend used to tell the same story. And I said, man, you know, two fellows got saved the same way and did it the same way. But I would come up here and I listened to Carl Hatch as he would tell that story. And I would weep and cry, and I'd go back to Wilmington. And I'd say, oh, God, help me do something. Help me do something. And, you know, the one thing I liked about Brother Hiles, you might not ever do anything, but you wanted to after hearing him preach. That was amazing to me how he could put a want to in you. He was a motivational preacher, wasn't he? I mean, I never heard anybody make you want to do something like he could. And that's the reason I bring Brother Coral down. Brother Coral is, in my opinion, and I'm not trying to boast him, you know, but in my opinion, when Brother Coral preaches a text, there's nothing to be said about it. He's finished it when he's finished. And, you know, I tell our folks, I said, look, when he is preaching, it's just like he's writing. And if you want a good book, you get one of his books. And I do have a daily radio program, and I just take his books and preach them right on the radio. I told him I did it, you know. I mean, his stuff's so much better than mine, why wouldn't I use it? And, you know, it's just amazing the stuff that he writes in those books. And I only read behind fundamental preachers. I don't read behind the other crowd. I might think they're right. Preacher, I feel for you. Thank you for letting me come here. You didn't know me. He sent me a letter telling me not to bring my computer and put it up here. I wouldn't do that. I don't even know how to use a computer. I look like an idiot up here with a computer. Just like some of y'all look when you carry that little pad in the church instead of bringing your Bible. Why don't you just go ahead and get you a Bible? I mean, they're not that expensive. You can go ahead and buy you one and just carry it under your arm. The old blind lady used to carry hers, and they said, why do you carry that Bible? Said, you can't read it. She says, I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. Why don't you just get you a Bible and you can go ahead and carry it to church, and then everybody know you're a fundamentalist. You got a Bible in your arm, right? But, you know, I'm amazed at how our people are doing. You are switching, and we're not switching. The preachers aren't switching, but you are. Why? We're not leading you that way. Why are you going that way? I find that to be strange. And yet, as I was coming in to town last night, I was looking for a radio station. Our church bought a 50,000-watt radio station 3 years ago. And we pick up FBN and just rebroadcast that. We're a part of Fundamental Broadcast. So the brother who was here today who was talking about the tracks, you're on our station every day. We broadcast you from Jacksonville, North Carolina to Myrtle Beach. And, we did that because we're one of four churches in Wilmington that now use the King James Bible. Everybody else has switched. Even our independent Baptist. They switched. I don't understand that. When I went to Bible college, I went to a liberal college. And the first thing they tried to do was to get me to buy their Bible that they had. And I just couldn't do it. I had problems with it. And so I didn't do it. And they kept telling me, you're going to have problems here if you keep carrying that King James Bible in the classroom. And I just kept doing it, you know. And I graduated Dean's List. And the president of the college said, he's the only man that ever graduated from here and didn't learn a thing. I'm not proud of that I didn't learn anything. I'm just proud that I didn't accept what they were teaching. I mean, that was junk. They actually taught us. Now, this is true, fellas. You've heard preachers tell this, but I was there. I heard it. They taught us that God didn't create Adam and Eve. That Adam is a word for man, and God just created a whole civilization at one time. That's what they taught us. And I'd go home and tell my mama that. And my mama hadn't been to Bible college. And she'd say, he's losing his mind. And she'd go talk to my preacher, and he'd say, well, all you got to do is put it down on a piece of paper. You don't have to believe it. I would never tell a student that. If you were going to a school and they were teaching you junk like that, I'd say, go to another school. Go to Brother Fugit. They won't teach that. Right? Go over here, Providence. They won't teach that. I hope, right? They taught us that the book of Daniel, that wasn't true. They taught us that the Red Sea crossing didn't happen, that it was ankle deep water. And I was sitting out there. You know, I was dumb. I mean, I was only 18 years old. And if you're 18 years old, you're dumb. I mean, I hate to tell you, but you are. I mean, you're just dumb as a box of rocks. You think you know everything, but in a few years, you're going to realize how much you've learned in those few years. And I would sit there and listen to what they were teaching, and I raised my hand and I said, you have just made a bigger miracle than's in the Bible. And the professor said, how? I said, God drowned the whole Egyptian army in ankle deep water. Boy, that was amazing that he could do that. What a mighty God we serve, I thought. Man, he could drown that whole crowd. I sit through that and took it in and didn't believe a bit of it. And when I left, I became a preacher for them. And I tell you, it was great because I was one of theirs. I'd come up through the ranks. I was one of theirs. And I was used. I was preaching 30 meetings a year, Brother Coral, and pastoring a church. And the church just took off. And I just couldn't do it. I said to my wife one day, I said, honey, I can't do this no more. And she said, what? I said, I'm fighting the college more than I'm preaching Jesus. God never called me to do that. And so I took my credentials off the wall, rolled them up, wrote a letter, sent it to them, and said, I quit.
Amen. God bless you.
There was a little meeting going on over in Kinston. There was two preachers there, Tom Malone, B.R. Lakin. I went over there to see them, and I said, told them what I had done. Dr. Lakin said, wait just a minute. He called his grandson. He said, run this book table. And he took me back there in the back, and he talked to me like I was somebody. And he said, son, let me tell you what to do. He said, you know, I never graduated from the 8th grade. He said, I'm doing pretty good. I'm Dr. Lakin. Man. And he said, you go back to Wilmington and you start reading good books and start knocking on doors and build a church. And that's what I did. I started an independent Baptist church. And, you know, I had fellows came in and ordained me. Because I wasn't, you know, I turned in my credentials. I had to do the whole thing again. And they ordained me, and we got started. And I've never looked back. I've been thankful that God got me straightened out on that. So Brother Coral says, what do you call it? Best kept secret. No, I'm just a secret. You know, I've just stayed in Wilmington, tried to build a church. That's all I've done. All these years. I'm 73 now. I'm looking for a young man to come and to work with our youth and learn our church and take it over because I don't know how much longer I got. Now, I'm planning on staying here till Jesus comes, but I don't know that, do I? And so, you know, my friend across town had a big church, and he brought in a young man. I won't tell you the school we came from, but he came in and said, I'm just like you. in 1 year, he told the preacher, he said, I want you to leave, and I want you to leave town. I don't want to see you around here anymore. And he changed Bibles on him and changed music. And I thought, man, I don't want that to happen in my place. I've worked all these years trying to build this. I don't want this to happen. And I believe that what you have to do is you've got to find somebody and bring them in and train them. And then turn it over to them and say, hey, it's yours now. Sink or swim. Do like I did, you know. And that's what I'm doing. Well, you know, I've already took up all my time, which is, you know, my wife says I'm good at that. But let's open our Bible just for a moment. I want you to see something in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Apostle Paul is writing to a preacher, a young preacher. And Paul knows that he's not going to be here much longer. Matter of fact, in the second letter, he tells you he's ready to go. He knows that death is imminent. And he says in this first letter to this young preacher, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I love the church. Don't you? It's what's holding the world together. Do you know Holy Spirit lives within the body of the believer? And one of these days, Holy Spirit's going to take the church out. And although Holy Spirit cannot leave, get this straight, because He is omnipresent, He will always be here. What He is going to do is remove His influence. His influence is working in the church right now. And you don't realize it, but we're what's keeping everything going. The presidents of corporations, the people who are doing the work, they're Christians. What do you think is going to happen when they wake up one morning and all of a sudden millions of people are gone that they're dependent upon to run their business? Why, it's going to be a terrible time on the earth. I don't want to be here. And thank God I won't have to be, because in spite of what the Calvinists say, I believe we're going up before the tribulation. I don't think I'm going to stay here during the tribulation. 30% of our preachers coming out of Bible colleges right now, I'm not talking about independent Baptists. I don't know what you fellows are doing. Like I say, I stay in Wilmington. I don't know what y'all do. But 30% of Southern Baptists are Calvinists. Did you know that? They're graduating Calvinists. You know what that's going to do? It's going to shut down soul winning. Because they actually believe, a Calvinist does, that whenever a baby's born, God stamps him on the head, go to heaven or go to hell. And there's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, there's no reason to get out and go soul winning. Now, that's the mess that we're in today. That's why you are so important. That's why we've got to stay strong. That's why Paul says the church, and he's talking about the saved church. He's talking about the fundamental church. He says we're the pillar and ground of the truth. We're the ones that's preaching the truth. You say, well, you know, there's not that many of us. Oh, there's more than you think. There's churches all over this country that I've never even heard about. And I was coming in listening to the radio last night, and I was listening to what they were talking about on that radio station, and I thought, this is pathetic. A big radio station out of a big college right here in Chicago. And they were talking stuff that I thought, man, this is pitiful. And, you know, there's some of you will believe it. Because Dr. So-and-so says it, you're going to believe it. I tell you, Dr. So-and-so can be wrong. And a lot of times he is. And what we have to do is get into the book. Let me share this with you. In Matthew 16 and 18, the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a promise. The church is going to be here until he takes it out. We are not going under. We're going up. Amen? I mean, our best days are yet to come. And he talked about that. Well, along with that, here comes a fella by the name of Saul of Tarsus. You ever heard about him? Why, he actually was a religious man and thought he was right. And that's the problem with religion. A lot of times folks can be very religious and very sincere, but they can be wrong. And Saul of Tarsus was wrong. I mean, he was really wrong. And in chapter number 8 and verse 1, you'll hear about him and you'll see what he's doing. He's persecuting. He's carrying on all kinds of work. But did you know that that persecution, in spite of what we think about this COVID as being a terrible thing. Hey, did you know that God could have prevented it if he wanted to? Now, I can't speak for God. I'm not a prophet. But I can tell you this much. If God allowed it, it was for a purpose. And if you'll look around, have you heard all of your life, Brother Fugit, that you're going to come a great falling away, Brother Mickey? Haven't you seen it? You've seen it during this COVID. A lot of folks, they're not coming back. Now you say, well, they're watching us on the YouTube. They're watching us on Facebook. But a lot of them are not sending in their tithes. They're not having any contact with the church. And the longer they stay out of church, the worse off they're going to get spiritually. And you're going to watch this as it affects the church. But, Brother Fugit, as you said to me, on the phone one day, and I believe this is true, what we're doing now is we're starting all over. We're having to go soul winning again. We're having to get out there and beat the bushes. We're having to knock on doors to fill those pews back up where people quit coming. That's not a bad thing, because that's exactly what Jesus told you to do, didn't he? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, you know, we were satisfied. I can remember when fundamentalists, they didn't have two socks that matched. I mean, we were a weird looking group. I mean, you see, look at those ties those fellows wear. I mean, they're uptown. You should have seen the ties we used to wear. Man. They didn't even come from the Goodwill. I mean, they were worse than that. But I tell you what, they were after souls.
Yes, sir.
And they built churches all over this country. Oliver Green came to Kinston, North Carolina, put up his tent and preached for 6 weeks. At the end of 6 weeks, 29 churches were started out of that tent meeting in Kinston, North Carolina. That's what we used to do. Hey, we need to get back to that. Not being satisfied that our churches are full, but now that we've got room, let's fill the pews back up. Get out there and reach people. Tell them that Jesus loves them. That's what the church is about. And the Apostle Paul was persecuting the church. And we think, oh, that was terrible. No, it wasn't. Because Jesus had told them to go into all the world. And you know where they were staying? In Jerusalem. They weren't going anywhere. When persecution came, they left to get away from persecution and took the gospel into the known world at that time. That was amazing. God allowed persecution to get us to do what we were supposed to do. God may have allowed COVID to get us to do what we quit doing. Did you know that? He may have. I'm not saying he did. But he may have. And when I think about that, I think about Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is preaching. He's now become Paul. And he's preaching in a meeting. And it's a big room. And it's three stories. And there's a fellow up in the top. And he falls asleep. And the reason he fell asleep was because there's no oxygen up there. He was breathing carbon dioxide because of the oil lamps. And the fellow falls asleep and falls down. Well, unbelievable. Three stories. He died. Paul was a preacher. Paul was not only a preacher, he had a zeal for God. He not only had a zeal, But he believed in worship. And he also recognized that there was a devil who created problems. And here we got a problem. What are we going to do with this dead man? Now listen, dead people always bother me. If we have a funeral at church, the only thing is that's worse than having a dead man there is if he decides to get up. That's going to be a problem. But as long as he stays where he's supposed to be, I'm all right. Paul went and laid down on that dead man and brought life back into it. You know how he did that, fellows? He did that by staying close to God. A lot of times we preachers get so busy in the ministry that we forsake our fellowship time with God. Don't do it, because what's going to happen is you're going to get spiritually weak and the devil's coming after you. You got to stay close to God. Nothing is more important to a preacher than his prayer time and his study time. Nothing. You say, oh, it's more important that I go do this, more important than I go do that. No, it's more important that you spend time with God. Now, don't just spend time with God, because that's what Dr. Malone said killed his church. That he had fellows that just wanted to sit there and watch a computer. You can't do that. You've got to get out and do the work too. But you must spend time with God. That has to happen. And because Paul spent time with God, he was able to raise that dead man. Well, I'm going to close because of time. But let me say this. In Galatians chapter number 1, verses 11 through 17, you turn there and see how Paul describes his own life and what he went through. And you will see that this man, it's unbelievable what he went through. He talks about how many times they beat him. Have you ever stopped to think that Jesus was beat, I think, 39 times with a cat of nine tails? So you might have to multiply 39 times 9 to actually see how many times he was hit. See, I would count every time I was hit, wouldn't you? I mean, every time you hit me, I'd say, oh, wait a minute. Now, you know. But Paul, he records that he had many times that he was hit. It's over 900 and some times that his body was beaten for the Lord. And you know he didn't quit. He just kept right on. He just stayed faithful. Ronald Reagan said this. He says it's not that liberals don't know anything. He says it's that everything that they know is wrong. Remember this, fellows. When you go down to the bookstore and you buy a book, remember where that fellow come from. Remember who he studied under. Because you might think you're smart enough to take the good and leave the bad. I doubt you are. There's going to be a little bit of milk left on your mouth. And it'll ruin you. I love Brother Quarles' books. I love Brother Fugit's books. I read behind Fundamentalist. And you say, well, they're not as smart as the others. Oh, so you think reading stuff that's not true is smart. Maybe you better read truth for a while. And I only use my King James Bible. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, he says, I've got the other Bibles. I read them as a commentary for the King James. I thought, something wrong with that thought. I'm going to read something that's mixed up as a commentary. No, you know, I like this Bible right here. It says on it, church. Do you know we printed that? Our Independent Baptist churches printed that. And it says on it, Holy Bible. I like that. I got a Holy Bible printed by our churches that I know it's right. This is the Word of God. And I don't have to go anywhere else. Brother Coral, thank you for letting me come. I hope I've done some good. And I appreciate being here. Thank you, Brother Angel.
Thank you.
Your niece, I guess it is, or maybe she's your aunt, is a missionary that we've been supporting for 20 years, I guess.
My cousin, yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have heard with our ears, and our fathers have told us. And that's why I'm happy for our church to host this conference. Because Brother Coral just sticks with bringing these men, this one, that have just stayed and stayed and stayed by the stuff. Everybody else is looking for that idea. Well, there's an idea. There are several ideas for us this morning. Just stay with it. Say he didn't preach much. Sometimes the man is the message. The man is the message. And that's what we heard this morning. Along with the preaching. Along with his preaching. The man is the message. You helped us. You said that you heard Brother Howes. Nobody made you want to go out and do something like he did. Well, you got a little bit of that in you. Because I'm sitting there thinking, man, let's go do something. Amen. I appreciate it.